You can be seated. We're so glad that you're here today with us. You know, in March, everything became crazy, and you guys all remember that. And this feels a little bit more normal, other than you guys got some face shields on. I had mine on over there, but to talk, I'm going to take it off. We're just glad that you guys are here. If you're new with us, we just want to tell you, if you're a parent of a freshman, we want to tell you what this church is about. Every week, we want to raise the name of Jesus up high. That's our goal. We want Jesus' name to be raised up high, and we want people to meet, to know, and to follow Jesus. That's our goal every week. That's what we do. We open the Word of God together when we come, we assemble, we become the ecclesia, the assembly, and we connect and we open the Word of God together because we want a word from God. And that's what we want to do today. Before we do that, we just want to invite, and we want to continue to invite God to be with us this morning. So if you would you pray with me? Father, we come. We're so thankful for who you are. We're thankful that you are a God who is alive and well. We're thankful for who Jesus is and what he's done for us in our lives. We're thankful that we can know the King of Kings and we can have access to your throne. And God, I just pray that as we're here today and we open your word, that it would be a sweet blessing to you as your people hear your word and respond to it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are starting a new series. It is called Tweet. If you have a Twitter account, you'll know what that is. I have a Twitter account. I have zero followers because I've never actually tweeted before. But people use Twitter all the time. If you don't know what it is, it's a micro post. It's a 140 character post about something of the person's life or something that they're thinking about. So it would be like, I went to the beach with the family. Hashtag blessed, right? And so your followers then would see this and they would be go, oh, they went to the beach. This is great, you know? And so that's what they would do. Let me give you a few examples of tweets. My kids counted one less snail in the fish tank. So now they are crying, pointing at me because I told them I tried a snail once at a fancy restaurant on vacation some 20 years back. And so she's getting in trouble, mom is, for eating the snails. Hey, ladies, let's hit the club tonight. Me texting my mom friends to meet at Starbucks in Target. I almost just choked on a kale chip, this one I relate to, and all I could think was, this never happens with Cinnabons. Hey, guy with the hydration pack, two hiking sticks and a North Face vest. My five-year-old walked the same trail in Crocs carrying a naked Barbie. Relax. Behind every photo taken at home, this is for you moms, behind every photo taken at home is a mom pushing random crap out of the way so that their house appears clean. Probably true, right? Probably the most famous or infamous, maybe however you look at it, tweeter out there is our president, right? He tweets all the time, and we know that. These are tweets. This is what it looks like. Just little, small chunks that people have, and they're tweeting out, and they're seeing these things. They capture notable events. They're short posts. What happens is they're often forgotten. So what we're going to be doing in this series is there are all these people that we're very familiar with in the scripture, and they have like novels basically written about them. But in this series, we're going to look at the people that had a tweet written about them. So we're going to be looking at these guys who get just a little bit of ink instead of these guys who get a lot of ink. We're going to look at this. We're going to look at these tweets. And they capture notable events, but they're short posts and they're quickly forgotten. In this series, we're going to look at these people who had major impact and we shouldn't forget them, even though they were only tweets in their lives. And so one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to be looking at a couple of characters. One of the characters is a novel, is written about him, and the other character is really a tweet size. And so one of the characters that we're going to be looking at today is David. You guys probably know David. He's famous for killing a big giant. You may, even if you've never gone to church, you probably heard that story. Maybe you've heard about Bathsheba or something like that. And so there's a lot written about this guy named David. His name is King David. And he's a pretty significant character in the scriptures. He has some things that he not only has been written about, but he's also written in the scripture. 73 of the Psalms in the scripture are attributed to King David, maybe 75. And so he's kind of like the Bethel music of his time, right? And so he wrote songs, and he was a part of that. He also has a son. His son's name is Solomon. He had actually many sons, but this one became king. And this son, Solomon, he was an extensive writer. And a lot of the Proverbs are written by him. He was one of the wisest men to ever walk the earth. He was also one of the richest men to ever walk the earth. And so there's a lot written about these guys. It was a time of prosperity for the nation of Israel when Solomon took over. And so there's a lot of great things written about these guys. These guys are not tweetable characters. These guys are the novel character. Another fairly interesting thing, though, about King David, and this may have led to some trust issues in his life, was that he is one of the characters in history that more people tried to kill than anyone else. And so he's in like the top 1% of people where other people wanted to kill him. Did you guys know that? Like, there's all through the scriptures, you see David trying to be killed. So you have a big giant, it kind of starts off there, and they're trying to kill, the giant's trying to kill him. Then there's this king that is right before him named Saul. There's two chapters in the scripture. In these two chapters, Saul tries to kill him 12 times. There's warriors, and there's other kings, and there's other... his own son tries to kill... Like, everyone wants to kill this guy, right? They wanted to get rid of him. Saul wants to get rid of him because he's a really good warrior. He's not the king at the time, but Saul knows he's the king, and he knows that David's going to take over for him. And in 1 Samuel 18:7, it kind of talks about this, and it says that, you know, one of the reasons for this were all the single ladies. They were putting their hands up, and they began singing and dancing to Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And it was like a number one hit in the nation of Israel because of who King David was, and this ticked Saul off. It made him angry, and so he tried to kill David over and over and over and over again. Because he didn't want this kind of young punk. He didn't want the lady singing about the young punk. He wanted the lady singing about him. And so Saul tries to kill him. And so you see this all throughout the scripture. There's this crazy, crazy story of who David is. And all these people trying to kill him. But what's really interesting is nobody succeeds. Nobody succeeds. We know this from the scriptures. In 1 Kings chapter 2, it talks about this. And it says this, then David rested with his ancestors and was buried. That rested thing means he died. And was buried in the city of David. He had reigned for 40 years over Israel. So there's a good chunk of time. These people are trying to kill him. And they're not. He's not getting killed. 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father, that's his son, David, and his rule was firmly established. And you might go, well, how did he like elude all of this stuff? What was happening? How did this happen? You know, and this 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 10 through 12 is kind of like a this is what something like, you know, Solomon, if he had Twitter, he would tweet out about this. This is kind of just a little micro post of what was going on and what happened and how we got to this place where David rested. You know, if Solomon was to use Twitter account, he would say, Dad's resting with his ancestors. I'm firmly established on the throne, hashtag blessed. That would be his tweet, right? When you look at social media, though, and so you guys know this, if you look at social media, you look at Facebook, you look at a post, a Twitter post, or you look at a picture of a family on vacation, or maybe some type of celebration. How many of you guys were a part of a wedding this summer? Yeah, some of you were none of you. Wow, you guys, yeah, okay. Nobody got married. That's interesting. Okay, great. So if you were, there's maybe a picture that was there, right? And there's a picture of this couple, and you're like, wow, look how beautiful she looks. Look how handsome he looks. What an incredible thing. And, you know, someone, whoever posted it, they're like, oh, blessed union, hashtag, right? And you're like, this is so cool that these people, but there's a backstory to that, right? There's always a backstory to these tweets. There's always a backstory to getting to that place, right? For that couple to get married, they met and they probably started dating, and then they probably broke up. They probably broke up for a little bit, and then they got back together, and then they got engaged because they knew this is what that they were going to go, and they're going to get married. And then mom came into the picture, and she took over the wedding, and it was really bad. And the mother and the daughter were fighting, and then dad was complaining about the money that was going out. And then they sat Aunt Ida at the wrong place at the dinner table, and so there's a fight there. And then you get this picture. It didn't just come out of the blue. There's a whole backstory to what happened behind that thing, right? There's a whole backstory. The same is true in this passage. There's a whole backstory to get where David rested with his ancestors. There's a whole backstory behind all of this stuff. And so what we see here is this beautiful picture that David, he lived a fairly long life. And he made it. But how did he get there? What's the backstory? Well, David, young in his life, Saul, remember I told you, hated him. And so David was hanging out in this cave of Adullam. He was in the cave of Adullam, and he's hanging out there. And what happens is people start to gather around David. They hear about where he's hiding out, and they start to come, and they start to hang out. And these people are kind of the distressed of the society. They're the outcast of this society. They're the people who are in debt in the society. So basically all these people who were rejected in the society started hanging out with David. It's a band of misfits. And at first it's hundreds, and then it becomes thousands. David begins to, at this time, select some elite warriors. This is the backstory. He begins to select these elite warriors from these crowds. They're the special ops of the group. There's a couple of groups. One group is this group, and they're kind of the original Three Musketeers, and they have this very specific set of skills. They're special ops, if you will, and they have this really crazy name. These elite warriors, they were called the Three, right? That was it. That was their name. They're Three, and if you heard that back then, it was the Three who did that. You would know it was special ops, right? This is special ops. This is David's boys who came in. Then there was another special force group, and it was the 30 men. And you want to guess what they called themselves? Very creative back in the Old Testament. You want to know what they called them? Come on now, you can talk a little bit in church. It's okay. What do you think they called themselves? The 30, right, the 30. And the 30 were this elite group also. And so if somebody died that was in battle and was a part of the 30, you know what they did? They replaced that person because they didn't want to change the name or change the patches or whatever. So it was always the 30, right? And if you heard the 30, that was a big deal. It was a big deal. And so we get a picture of this in the scripture of these people, David's mighty warriors. In 2 Samuel 23, it says that there are these mighty warriors. And it begins to give you some of those people. It gives you the top three. And if we jump down to verse 20, there's an interesting guy there, Benaiah, a valiant fighter. Performed great exploits. He struck down Moab's two mightiest warriors. In another place, it talks about these warriors, these Moab warriors. And these aren't like, oh, you know, this is kind of no big deal. He killed a couple of Moab guys. No, these guys were known. These guys were known as the lions. And this guy, Benaiah, took them out. And then it says he went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. Some of you guys might think you're tough, might think you're pretty strong. Have you ever killed a lion on a snowy day? I don't think you have. This guy was crazy in one sense. He was tough. And so what they would do is they would have this pit and they would trap the lion. So think, this thing's probably pretty deep and not really that big, because if you give a lion some room to jump, guess what? They can jump, right? And so it's probably pretty tight quarters, and it's snowing out, and the lion's in there, and Benaiah is like, yep, I'm in. And he jumps down there and he kills the lion. This guy, he's got a very specific set of skills, right? And he struck down a huge Egyptian. Although the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, Benaiah went up against him with a club. He snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. You ever play rock, paper, scissors? Yeah, like we've done this, right? There are certain things that beat other things. What does rock beat? Scissors. Every time. Twice on Sunday, right? Every time. Paper? Yeah. Big, tall dude with a spear always beats medium-sized guy with a club. That's like kind of universally known, right? And so in another place, it tells us just how big this Egyptian is. He's 5 cubits. We have a picture, I think. So number 21 is the exact size that Egyptian would be. He's 7.5 feet tall. Look at the length of that dude's arms, right? And this guy's got a big spear. You know, Vegas is taking odds on this thing. It's like Benaiah's 500-1. It's like the Detroit Lions winning the Super Bowl. But guess what? God was on his side. And he goes in there, he grabs the spear, and he runs this guy through, and he takes him out. This guy is tough. He's tough. He's a big deal. He struck him down, struck the huge Egyptian down, kills a lion, takes out some Moabites. Just to give you a picture of how tall this guy was, I just looked up, like, how many Americans are 7 feet or taller? Anybody want to guess? Anybody know? Right now in the United States, how many do you think there are? 100? 6,000? Yeah, it's 150 to 180, somewhere in there. To be that big is pretty outstanding. And so we know that Benaiah probably wasn't that big. In America, if you're over 6'4", you're in a totally different category. You're in like the 1% category. There's just not that big of people. So this is a pretty extraordinary thing that happens. And Benaiah, he was this mighty warrior. Verse 22, he was as famous as the three. He was as famous as the three. He was held in great honor, or greater honor than any of the 30. But he wasn't included in the three. And look what it says. Remember, David died as an old man and is somewhere in his 70s. And here's the tweet, here's the reason. And David put him in charge of his bodyguard. David put Benaiah in charge of his bodyguard. He was his secret service. This is a difficult job, right? I told you, this guy, David, lots of people wanted to kill David. And lots of people attempted to kill David. But Benaiah, he did something to hold that off, to thwart those plans, to protect David. We don't have all the details of what he did. We don't have all the details, but we have some stories. We have a few stories of how Benaiah succeeded. But we know he succeeded because David died. He rested with his ancestors. Before David dies, he pulls Solomon aside. The Bible's so cool. It has these great stories. And I would even submit to you that any great story that you've ever heard finds its roots in the Scripture. All the great stories come out of this. There's something about it. And this story, David pulls Solomon aside. And we think of David, you might think of him as a warrior, you might think of him as kind of a harp player, but he's an old dude, right? And so, like, I think of him, he's sitting there strumming his harp, singing some songs of old. He's on his deathbed, calls his son Solomon over, and he's not the sweet old man. He goes old godfather on him. And he's like, Solomon, here's what I need to tell you. This guy, threat to the throne. This guy, threat to the throne. This guy, threat to the throne. Take him out. It's not exactly what it says, but it's close, right? It's like, whack them. You got to get rid of these guys. They're threats to the throne. And he gives them these names. And David goes to his, on his deathbed, goes all godfather with his son. Solomon hears this and he responds to this because he knows he's the one who's going to be taking over his father's throne. He's going to be in this place. Well, remember, David has some other sons. Adonijah is one of them. And so Adonijah, what happens is he believes he is the rightful king. And in one sense, if you read the story, it kind of makes sense. He's the next in line, his two older brothers. He was the third brother in line. The other brothers are dead. And so he thinks he's the guy, right? And so he gets this following around him. He gets this following around him, and people start to celebrate him as king. David's not dead at this point yet, but people start to go, this is the new king. This is the next one. And he also has another guy around him. This other guy is Joab. And this is the commander, think five-star general of David's army. He's with Adonijah. He thinks he should be the king, not Solomon. And so David says, hey, these guys are a threat to the throne. They're a threat to the throne. So David, what he does is, before his death, he tells Benaiah, I want you to get a priest, get Nathan the prophet, and my mule. You put Solomon on there, you walk in front of them, you protect them, and you go out and you parade Solomon as the guy. He's the next king. And everyone should know this, and you anoint him, you blast this trumpet. And who's there, though? Who's there? It's Benaiah. This guy who maybe some of you didn't even know was in the Scripture before walking in here. Adonijah, he gets wind of this. Remember, he has Joab on his side. Joab is he's the commander, five-star general of David's army. Scripture tells us that Adonijah gets wind, and he's scared because Benaiah is with Solomon. Again, this guy has a very specific set of skills, right? So much so that Adonijah hears this, knows what happened. Benaiah's with him. He runs out to the altar, and he grabs the horns of the altar. And he's basically, what happens is, like, you ever play tag when you're a kid? There's a home base, maybe, right? Or we called it ghoul. Some people call it goal. We called it ghoul. I don't know where that came from, but that's what we called it. And so you'd run to ghoul. And if you got to ghoul, they couldn't tag you, right? This is kind of the same idea. Adonijah goes, holy smokes, they're going to kill me. And he runs there and he grabs the altar and is like, nope, can't kill me. Can't do it because I'm holding on to this thing. First Kings chapter 1. And then Solomon was told, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon and is clinging to the horns of the altar. He says, let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death. Solomon replied, if he shows himself to be worthy, not a hair on his head will fall to the ground. But if evil is found in him, he will die. So Solomon sends out these men, and they kind of give him a free pass, and Solomon shows some mercy. He says, go home. Adonijah comes, he bows down to him. He goes home. Well, Adonijah's sitting there, and he's thinking about this, thinking about it at his home, and it says he basically still believes he should be king, the rightful king. So what does he do? He goes and he talks to Bathsheba. Bathsheba, just so you're, this is all Game of Thrones kind of stuff. It's kind of crazy stuff. Bathsheba is Solomon's mom. And he asks for marriage. He asks Bathsheba to ask Solomon for this woman's hand in marriage. And you're like, oh, that's not a big deal. But if he would have given it to him, it would have been this movement of the kingdom over to Adonijah. Well, Solomon's not a dumb guy. He's actually pretty smart, right? And so he figures this thing out, what's happening and in what he's trying to do, because Bathsheba goes to him and tells him what's going down. And so he's still trying to take and grab the throne. Then King Solomon, this is verse 23, swore by the Lord, may God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if Adonijah does not pay with his life for this request. This is a big deal. And now, as surely as the Lord lives, he who has established me securely on the throne of my father David and has founded a dynasty for me, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death today. Remember, though, Solomon, he's a lover. He's not really a fighter. That's not his thing. He's not a big fighter. You know, he wrote a whole book about love, right? He's a lover. So who do you think he sends to do this? So King Solomon gave orders to Benaiah and his very particular set of skills. And he struck down Adonijah and he died. I like that in the scripture. He struck him down, and it just makes no mistake, the dude's dead, right? He's dead. Now, remember, Adonijah was not working alone. He is working with Joab. This guy was the commander of David's army. His signature move, Joab was a bad dude. His signature move was to grab a dude's beard like this and run him through with a knife. I'm not trying to be gory just to be gory, but that's just what the scriptures say, just telling you. And so he would do these things. He assassinated other commanders, other kings. This guy was a tough dude. And he finds out that Adonijah is dead. Well, this is his meal ticket, right? He's going to go and put himself beside him. And so guess what he does? He runs to the altar and he grabs it. Why do they keep doing this, right? What's this goal? What would happen, and just to explain this really quickly, what happened, why they did this. If you accidentally killed somebody, you could go to the altar and it was like an asylum. It was like you got pardoned for it. This is not, though, what happens. This guy wasn't innocent of the blood that was being shed. And so what happens is Solomon again sends Benaiah. Benaiah says, hey, he's holding on to the altar again. There's nothing I can do. He comes back to Solomon, and Solomon says, hey, this guy's not innocent. This isn't like an accident. He like killed these other guys in peacetime. And you know what? This guy's not innocent. You need to kill him. And so they basically, that's what happens. Benaiah comes. He gives orders to Benaiah, and he struck him down, and he dies. And this is in verse 34. And so, verse 34, it tells us that he struck him down, Joab, and he killed him. And he's buried in his home country. The king put Benaiah, because there's an opening, over his whole army at this point, right? Okay, that was kind of funny, I thought. I thought that was a little bit funny. Come on now. You guys are a rough crowd this morning. There's one last guy, Shimei. Shimei, he like didn't think Solomon should be king, and he was really mean to David, and he would stand up on these rocks, and he'd shout curses down, and he'd throw rocks down, and he threw dust down, and he was just mean to David, and David is like, you need to know this. Shimei, get rid of him. This is bad. He's bad. He wants someone else. He's going to cause problems. You got to take him out. So Solomon goes to him, and Shimei kind of pleads for his life, and he pleads for his life, and he gives him, Solomon's a reasonable guy. He gives him kind of like this home arrest thing. And so he goes home, and he's supposed to stay there, and he stays there for like 3 years. But then he gets out again and starts doing his thing. And this is when Solomon takes him out again. The king also said, Shimei, you know in your heart all the wrong you did to my father. Now the Lord will repay you for your wrongdoing. But King Solomon will be blessed, and David's throne will remain secure before the Lord forever. Then King gave the order to Benaiah. And he went down and he struck Shimei down and he died. The kingdom was now established in Solomon's hand. So David's dead, Solomon's in charge. He's done some house cleaning. Benaiah did his Jason Bourne thing and he's killed all the threats to the throne. And you might be going, man, this is a cool story. This is great. What's the point? What's the point? The point is this. Benaiah had a very specific set of skills that was used for the furtherment of God's big story. The big story that God was telling and has told us is that through the line of David, through the throne, through the establishment of the kingdom, of the line of David, there was going to be one who was going to come. He's the Messiah. He's the King of Kings. He's the anointed one. He is the reason you and I sit here today. Through this line is going to come Jesus. The point is, part of this grand story that God was telling, to get to the point where Jesus comes, he lives, he dies on the cross for your sins and my sins, and he rises again. To get to that point, there's a guy way back here, the backstory, his name is Benaiah, and he did what God had called him to do because he had a specific set of skills. Guess what? The scriptures tell us, you too have a very specific set of skills. If you are a follower of Jesus, you have been given the Holy Spirit in you, and it's given you a very specific gift for the betterment of the body, for the betterment of the local church, to be connected, to be used, to be a part of God's grand story. You might not get a novel written about you, but you might get a tweet written about you. That's the point. On your seats, there are papers there. We have all kinds of things here. And I want to stress this. We're not about evangel being great. We're not about evangel being great. We're about Jesus being lifted up real, real high. And so we want everyone who's a part of this church to have opportunities to use their gifts. Let me just bring this verse up to you. It's in Corinthians. It says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. The same God that was working through Benaiah is working in you. You have an opportunity to serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe. And you know how he said you serve? by using your gifts for the betterment of the body. That's how you do it. Because the church, the local church, is the hope of the world. We have the keys to the kingdom of God. We have the ability to proclaim the good news. Benaniah was a part of the proclamation of the good news. He was the protector of the line of David. You know what? We got a tweet about him in Scripture. What will God tweet about you? What will God tweet about me? That's the point. We want you to have an opportunity. We'll call the band to come on up. I want you to have an opportunity to fill those out. There's a container in the back. Some of you will be small group leaders. Some of you will not want to do that, and you have musical talents, or maybe some of you can push slides, or maybe some of you want to work in children's ministry, and nothing is too small. Some of you are going to be out in the parking lot, and it's great right now. It's really cold in the winter, but it's a service to the Lord. It's a gift to the Lord, and we want everyone to be connected and working together. It's not one person's. It's all of us, and here's our mission. I always want to go back to mission. Our mission is for Houghton County to know, to meet, to know, and to follow Jesus. You know why that's our mission? Because that's God's mission. The Father's heart is that no one would perish, and we get to be a part of that, and it is a delight to be a part of that. Fill those out, hand them in there, we'll contact you. If you're a freshman, guess what? You're going to be inundated with different opportunities. This club, that club, all of these clubs. Church isn't a club. It's a mission. It's a mission of Jesus. I want to invite you into that. I want to invite you to be a part of that. I want to tell you a secret here at Evangel. If you don't know Jesus yet, you can still have a place. You're not going to teach a class on theology. But if you're figuring it out, we want you to serve Jesus. We think it's hilarious that you serve Jesus. Because you know what happens? It moves you toward Jesus as you serve Him. As you walk with Him. You walk with others who are walking with Him. So even if you are like, man, I don't know about this Jesus care, come serve. Come be a part. When you take that step of faith, the Holy Spirit will come in and He will give you a specific gift. And you will know what God wants you to do and be a part of. Let me pray for us. Father, we come. We thank you for this story of Benaiah. Very specific set of skills. But this crazy thing that you tell us, and we believe it, is that your Holy Spirit has given us a very specific set of skills for the betterment of your kingdom, for the betterment of your body, that we may proclaim the good news of Jesus. God, this is a dark world. It's a dying world without you. We want nothing more than for people to come to know you and to raise your name up high. Help us to do it all together well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.